we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, happy April Fool's Day to you. I debated about whether or not I was going to play a joke here today, but I decided that I wouldn't. So the good news is today that we don't have to remain in our folly and remain in a life of foolishness, but instead we can embrace the wisdom of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, and today can be a great day. Amen. So we want to say thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast, and I'm going to be bringing you a message of great news and hope today. We want to thank Creative AC Solutions for helping to make this radio broadcast possible. While I was away for my mother's funeral, we had an air conditioning issue at our church, and when I got back, they had already resolved the issue. And so we are very thankful for their expertise and their skill. So if you have an AC problem, call them at 759-3284, 759-3284. Ask for Bill and tell them that you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. They primarily operate here in the central Brevard County, central part of the county. So give them a call, 759-3284. Tonight we have a youth event. They're having an outdoor event over at the youth pastor's house, and so they're excited about that. We're going to be having church on Sunday, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that as we begin our journey towards spring and summer. Well, we're already in spring, but towards our summer months. I've got some things around my house that I'm trying to get in place, projects to get taken care of before it gets too warm, for a couple of reasons. One, I don't like working outside in excessive heat. And two, the project I'm working on would lower my electric bill and pay for what I'm needing to have done. So that's what I'm doing. I'm preparing now for what is coming in the days ahead. And so today we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to be talking a little bit about some promises from that chapter. But we do want to encourage you, if you do not have a church home, find one. If you're in the southern part of the county, Melbourne or Palm Bay, if you can't find a church, call me, text me, email me, and I will try and put you in contact with some churches in your area that I know to be Bible preaching churches, people who love others, who are wanting to reach out to their communities. And so if you're in the north, I can point you some in that direction. If you're in the central part of the county, we would hope that you would come and check us out at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Assembly of God. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 1. We've been talking about some things. Yesterday we talked about how God was admonishing the Jewish people not to continue in their sin, not to continue in their futility. It said that he was weary of burying them. My soul hates these things that you are doing. They trouble me. And those are all things that we don't want to be doing. And so let's look down to verse number 16 today. And it says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So we're going to stop the reading there. Now it says here in verse number 16, and 17, that there are some changes that need to be made. There are changes of behavior that need to be made. So it says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. But now I want to share with you here that there is nothing that we could do to alleviate our sin problem. We were the offending party. And when you are the offender, it is the offended that sets the terms. And our offense is not against the devil. Our offense was against God. Our sin broke the covenant that he had established that goes all the way back to Noah. It's, you know, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We had sinned. We had fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us deserved that. And so here it is talking about wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Well, if you know that you, how do I want to say this? There are certain things that I have to do from time to time that are involve some paint, things like that, the grease on from an automobile, that when you get on them, it doesn't matter if you wash them with water, it's not going to come off. There's some things that I've had on my hands that I've tried those hand cleaners that they've got, you know, real citrusy and sandy, gritty. And I wash them, and those don't come off. And it would be, no matter what I did, I could not get the stain out. I don't remember which one of Shakespeare's plays it was. I didn't look it up before I came in here. This is just something that came to me. Was a person, I believe, had committed a murder, and they were saying out. They were trying to get the spot out. They no matter what they did, they could not get rid of the spot. And no matter what we try to do, it's not going to be able to get the stain of sin out of our heart and out of our life. But thanks be to God, he provided a sacrifice. He provided the blood of his own son. He's the one who sets the terms and says, this will take care of your sin problem. This will take care of all of those things that that trouble me, that weary me. These are the things. It will take care of all of that. It will restore you and I into fellowship with one another. And so they have, back to washing my hands, they have other chemicals that are designed to dissolve certain stains that you get out. And so whenever I have those things on my hands, I don't just ignore them. I mean, can you imagine eating with, you know, paint on your hands? That would just be, that just doesn't sound right at all. And so you want to get that. And then what I would do is then I would take it and, you know, make sure that I got all of that stuff off and then, you know, take care of the stain. Well, God says here in verse number 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the only thing that you and I have available to us that will remove the stain of sin out of our life is the blood of Jesus Christ. So I guess you could say that we could wash ourselves and make ourselves clean when we avail ourselves of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. But it is through his work that cleansing is available to us. Please do not accept sin as your normal. Please do not accept the fact that though you might have tried this, you might have tried good behavior, you may have problems and you've tried rehab and you might have tried to quit this habit over and over and over again and failed. I want to encourage you today, try it God's way. Try it God's way. Try the blood of Jesus. Allow him to be the Lord of your life. There is no addiction. There is no habit that is so strong that Jesus' blood cannot set you free from it. I was watching a little over a week ago the James Robison program Life Today, and it had Christine Kane, and she was talking about how sometimes people get set free from the addiction but they don't take the next step into walking into freedom and liberty that God has for us. They just continue to wander around in the wilderness, and it's become a mundane, just going through the routine. And I want you to know that God has a new adventure for you. He wants you and I to not only be set free from our sin problems, but he wants to empower us and liberate us to live in the fulfillment of his presence and his promises. And so we'll talk about a little bit more about that a little bit later. Here Isaiah is commanded by God to give some admonitions to the people that he was speaking. He says, first of all, cease to do evil. Now let me tell you in quite simple language what that means. Stop it. It simply means stop it. It doesn't mean slow down. It means cease and desist. Stop sinning. The power of Jesus Christ does such a revolutionary work in our heart that it empowers us to live in victory and not defeat. So we do not have to capitulate. We do not have to surrender to the temptations of the enemy. We can stop it. I want to encourage you today that the devil is a liar. When he says that you will always be that, I want you to know he's a liar. God has, by the sacrifice of his son, empowered us all to be able to stop sinning and live righteously. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. He was really good at it. And thanks to a Damascus Road experience where he encountered the living, resurrected Savior, he stopped the persecution of the church. He didn't just go and say, well, I'm doing it less now than I did before. Well, thank God for less. Thank God for sinning less. But sinning less is still sinning. He says, cease to do evil. Let's agree to stop doing the things that are evil in God's sight. Society wants to redefine what evil is. Evil is quite simply this: doing that which God said we should not do. Evil is rebelling against what God has commanded us to do. So stop it. Evil is not just a person who's worse than you. You can't redefine something that God has said is unacceptable in his sight and said, well, it's unacceptable in your sight, but who are you? It's not unacceptable in my sight, and so therefore I'm going to participate in it. I'm going to do it. And God says, stop doing evil. You cannot continue to live in sin, live contrary to God's word, and expect the blessings of God. So it says, cease to do evil, learn to do good. Isn't it interesting that you don't have to tell a child to say no? You don't have to teach them to say no. You don't have to teach them to throw a temper tantrum. You don't have to teach them to do what they want to do. You don't have to teach them to be selfish. You don't have to teach them how to be stingy. You don't have to teach them how to lash out at another person. It is ingrained in our sin nature, even at that very young age. But here's what God says, learn to do good. Learn to do good. And so parents, we help train our children to do good. We train them to do what is right. We help them. We set them on the right path. And if you've never had a teacher to teach you what is good, then you need to be in church. You need a pastor, because if you continue in doing the things that are contrary to God, you are going to find that sooner or later you are going to end up with somebody bringing correction into your life. Not going to go into details, but I was in a local establishment, and there was a police officer that was educating a parent on how they should address a situation in their child's life. They said, you're not doing your child any favor by not teaching them to do good. And so I encourage you today, if you're not a child, but you've still got some bad behavior in your life, listen, I have known a lot of 60-year-olds who were still adolescents as far as behavior. They were still behaving like teenagers. They were behaving like teenagers who think that their parents didn't know anything and they knew everything, and yet their logic was flawed, it was failed, and as a result of that, there was constantly problems rising up in their life. I'm telling you today, if you are 60, if you're 70, if you're 80, if you're 90, you can stop sinning. I used to work in a shoe store. I had a guy that came in one day, and I said, well, how in the world are you today? And he said, oh, I'm fine. I said, well, you know, are you behaving yourself? And he said, son, I am 90 years old. I can't help but to behave myself. And, you know, I remembered that, and the next day I was listening to the news, and I found out that a 92-year-old man here in the state of Florida had been arrested for killing his wife. And I thought, you know, that man may think that he can't help but behave himself, but another person just demonstrated that he was quite capable of misbehaving, of committing a grievous sin. Whatever your age, learn to do good. I know a number of people who have led 90-year-olds and 80-year-olds and 70-year-olds into a saving relationship of Jesus Christ that so radically changed their behavior that you didn't have any doubt at all that they were going to spend an eternity in heaven. And here's what I encourage you. Don't put off your education as to what is good. Moses, at 80 something years old, had a conversation with God, and he said, God, show me your glory. And a lot of charismatics and Pentecostals, we like to talk about God, show us your glory. We want to see the glory of God. And I'm Pentecostal through and through. There are probably some people who don't attend Merit Assembly of God because they are uncomfortable with the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And I just want you to think about that just a moment when you think that you are uncomfortable with the ministry of God. So anyway, we don't, you know, have a lot of foolishness that goes on. We're not endorsing that, but we are very, very interested in the Holy Spirit who convicts people of their sins, moving in our midst. We believe that Jesus said, it is expedient for me to return to the Father so that I can send the Holy Spirit to you. I don't want you left as orphans. I want him to guide you into all truth. And so we very much want the glory of God. We will have people in our church that said, you know, I was walking by your church, and I've walked by a lot of churches, but as I was walking by, I just felt like God was drawing me in. And I said, well, you've got to understand, we pray for our church. God, may the presence of the Holy Spirit be so manifest in this place that people will be drawn in, not just so that our numbers swell, but so that they can learn to live the way that God wants them to live. Moses did not stop at saying, show us your glory. He went on and he said, God, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. We encourage people to don't postpone learning, but to start it as early as possible. And we encourage people that once you begin on the journey, don't stop. Don't stop. Continue to be a lifelong learner, learning to do good, not just learning things intellectually, not just learning new processes, but learn to live the way that God wants you to do. Here, Isaiah is commanding a new lifestyle in the nation of Israel, in Judah. He says, I want you to live the way that God wants. He says, learn to do good and seek justice. I will never forget a missionary that we had that came through, and he was talking about how his generation, they are moved greatly whenever they see injustice. And society wants to define what injustice is, and you know, as to whether or not this is done or not done. We believe that the greatest human right is for every person on the planet to hear of the good news of Jesus Christ. Very, very soon, God's Not Dead 2 is coming out. And in that movie, it is actually it's described as one of the Assemblies of God program. It's called the Human Right Campaign. Now, not the Human Rights Campaign. That's a different, as in plural. That's people who are believing that sexual activity that does not line up with the Bible, that's what they're promoting. But in the Human Right Campaign, it is this, that it is every person on the planet has the right to hear the presentation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in a manner in which they will understand. And so if you get a chance, go out and see that movie, God's Not Dead 2, and invite somebody to come along. The first one, God's Not Dead, dealt with a person who had some tragedy in their life, some heartache, and it had hardened them, it had chastened them, and to the point that they did not believe in God, and yet by the end of the movie, they had come to faith in Jesus Christ. Seek justice. Seek justice. Justice means that you cannot be bribed, you cannot be bought, you don't turn an evil eye just because someone is more wealthy or more powerful. You do things in a fair and equitable manner that reflects the nature of God. You see, when he judges us, he's going to judge us, first of all, on our admission into heaven. And the only way to get there is, what have you done with my son, Jesus Christ? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Have you asked him to be the Lord of your life? How have you responded to God's gracious invitation to forgiveness? Second, what did you do with the new life that God gave you? What did you do with the giftings that he gave you, the opportunities that he brought your way? How did you respond to those? And that determines what type of reward we get into heaven, when we get into heaven. And so you don't work to get saved. You work because you have been saved. He says, rebuke the oppressor. If you see somebody who's oppressing somebody else, treating them unfairly, denying them their wages, then it makes it very clear here, you are supposed to rebuke them. Speak the word of the Lord, not in human emotion, but speak the word of truth in love. You and I are not, especially in the body of Christ, we are not to be oppressors. Several years ago, I had a man, he's since gone on to be with the Lord. He came to me and he said, you know, I entered into a business arrangement with this other Christian, and I discovered that it wasn't all that it was supposed to be. And so I asked for my money back, and he wouldn't give me my money back. And I'm very upset about it. And so I didn't have any authority over the gentleman who wouldn't give him his money back. But I said, well, how much money? And it was like $50. And someone had just bought him, a couple $100 worth of tires. And I said, can I just point something out to you? That God has blessed you greater than the oppressor has deprived you. Some of you right now are walking around carrying hurts and grievances that others have inflicted upon you, and the blessing of Jesus Christ has more than compensated for that. Can I encourage you to fix your eyes not on your pain, but on your pain reliever? Can I encourage you to fix your eyes on Jesus and not that other person? Rebuke the oppressor. Don't tolerate it. If there's any place that there should not be oppression, it should be in the house of God. when Rehoboam stepped up and said, you know, I'm going to, my little finger is thicker than my father's loin. He scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. All of a sudden he said, under my rule and under my reign, there is going to be more oppression. God wants less oppression in your life. He wants more freedom. And it also says, defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. God said that he would watch over the widows and the orphans. That's what he said. And so there was so much war that went on during that time that there were huge quantities of widows and orphans. The men's would go off. I'll be honest with you. The military strategy, if you've ever watched a Revolutionary War movie where everybody lines up in a row and they line up about 10 deep and they just start picking one another off, I wouldn't want to be that one up there on the front. Because it was a horrible strategy. Back in ancient times, there were not great military strategies, and a lot of people died. And so there were lots of widows, there were lots of orphans, and God said, I will watch over you. I will be a husband to the husbandless, and I will be a father to the fatherless. And you and I have the opportunity, when it comes to ministering to kids and ministering to widows, that we have the opportunity to do exactly what God wants to have done. Watch out for them. Be there for them. Minister to them. Do you realize that there is a huge portion of our society right here in Brevard County that are single parent households? Let me tell you, it's hard being in a household where there are two parents to keep everything together. It's even more challenging in a home where there's only one. So, church, let's help. Let's be a blessing to that portion that God says, I am going to step in. I will do it myself, and I will do it through my bride. Now, it says this, come now, let us reason together. I want to close out today by just telling you this. If you're listening to this broadcast, there is still hope for you. If you think that you have sinned too much, the very fact that you're concerned about that is evidence that the Holy Spirit is still extending an invitation to you to come and accept Jesus as the Lord of your life. So please do not believe the devil's lie. God has the ability to take out a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He says, come, let us reason together. If you'd like to hear more about what Jesus has done for you, I want to invite you to Merit Assembly of God this Sunday and come and hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. He is bigger than your pain. He's bigger than your hurt. He is bigger than your failure and bigger than your sin. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God bless you. We will see you Sunday, hopefully. If not, we will see you Monday right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. I say me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away, purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on? With my one thing, you're my one thing.